Hello, and welcome back to the Clifford Chance Pensions Podcast, our podcast which goes hand in hand with our regular UK pensions update newsletter, delivering to you a snapshot of the headline points covered in the latest edition. Your speakers today will be me, Rebecca Trapp,
me, Louise Oliver,
and me, Rob Klepke,
all senior associates in the Clifford Chance Pensions team.
Thanks, Rebecca, for the introduction. This is our fourth podcast in the series. What does today's episode have in store for our listeners?
Well, as usual, there has been a lot happening in the pension sphere over the last couple of months. In our podcast today, we're going to be covering three main topics: the spring budget and what the proposals mean for pensions, the consultation on options for DB schemes, and the Finance Act 2024, which is making some significant changes from the 6th of April.
So quite a lot to cover again. I think it probably makes sense if we kick off with the spring budget. Although there wasn't anything substantively new announced on pensions, we did get some further details on a number of proposals that were originally announced as part of the Mansion House Compact, and more recently, the Autumn Statement.
Yes, that's right, Rebecca. We heard more about the value for money framework for DC schemes. In particular, the government has now confirmed an intention to bring forward requirements for DC schemes to publicly disclose a breakdown of their investments. The plan is to consult on requiring contract-based DC default funds to publish details of their investments, including a breakdown of their UK investments. The aim really is to drive better outcomes for DC schemes, while also at the same time encouraging investment in UK businesses. And the proposal is to require schemes in scope to compare certain metrics with at least two other schemes managing over £10 billion in assets.
That's right. And it follows a press release earlier in March when the Treasury announced pension reforms as part of the plan to boost British businesses. What's the timing for these new requirements coming into play?
Well, so far, the government has said it will put legislation in place at the earliest opportunity. They want to apply the framework across the market and ensure that the pensions regulator has got any powers it needs to ensure key disclosures are in place by 2027.
Yes, that's right. The budget also gave us a bit more flavour on the idea of a pensions lifetime provider model. Should we remind our listeners what that's all about?
Yes, this was also something previously announced at the Autumn Statement. Essentially, the Chancellor announced that the government would be consulting on giving savers a legal right to require a new employer to pay contributions into their existing pension pot, if they choose, the idea being that they would have one pot for life. And a call for evidence was published shortly afterwards, and that closed at the end of January.
And in the budget, the government has said it remains committed to exploring a lifetime provider model, DC schemes, in the long term. Although in reality, this is still a way off. The government says it will undertake continued analysis and engagement to build on the foundations of reforms already underway, but didn't tell us anything more specific on timing, and a response to the call for evidence is currently awaited. So those are the key points coming out of the budget, together with the confirmation that the state pension triple lock is here to stay, at least for now. Let's move on to the new consultation on options for DB schemes.
Yeah, good idea. So, as many of you might know, the DWP has launched a new consultation on options for DB schemes, which is open until the 19th of April. The consultation proposes both changes to the treatment of surplus in DB schemes and, secondly, options for setting up a consolidator run by the Pension Protection Fund. It again follows the Autumn Statement and a call for evidence published last summer. So it isn't brand new, but it's good to be getting more of a sense of the details around the proposals. Louise, could you tell us a bit more about this PPF consolidator proposal?
Of course. So the proposal is to set up a statutory fund run by the PPF board, and it's going to target the consolidation of smaller and less well-funded schemes, effectively giving these schemes a route forward where they might not be able to secure an insurance buyout or move to a commercial super fund.
And it's really aimed at those schemes who can't buy out or join a super fund, isn't it?
Exactly right. There will be eligibility criteria, which is expected to be principles-based, but it's clear that for schemes that can access buyout or a super fund, that should be the preference. One of the reasons for that is that it's being proposed that this new PPF consolidator model would only pay the actuarial equivalent of full scheme benefits to the members of transferring schemes under a small number of standardised benefit structures, so it wouldn't exactly replicate a transferring scheme's benefit structure. The idea being that this would reduce complexity and cost for the consolidator. And just to flag that it's proposed that underfunded schemes would also be able to access this model, For these schemes, the suggestion is that the employer would enter into an obligation with the PPF to pay off the deficit over time.
So the PPF consolidator proposal is a really interesting one. It's driven by a desire to improve governance and value for money for smaller schemes, whilst also maximising economies of scale for investment purposes, again, with a view to encouraging investment in UK businesses. The consolidator would be required to meet the same funding targets as commercial consolidators who will need to comply with forthcoming Superfund legislation. Some form of underwriting will also be needed, and that is going to be a sticking point. The consultation is considering either some form of government underwriting or using some of the PPF's established reserves. Whilst the PPF has made clear since the consultation was published that it doesn't consider using PPF reserves to be a viable option, and clearly without legislative change, that wouldn't be possible anyway.
Yeah, it's very interesting. It will be good to see how that one develops. Rebecca, do you think you could tell our listeners a bit more about the proposals on surplus covered in this consultation?
Yes, this is an interesting one as well, actually. As our listeners may already know, the tax charge payable on a refund of surplus from a pension scheme to the employer is reducing from 35% to 25% on the 6th of April. Now, this latest consultation is making further proposals around the treatment of surplus in DB schemes. So, at a very high level, the proposals include introducing a statutory override power to enable schemes to amend their rules to allow for the extraction of surplus on an ongoing basis where they don't currently have a preserved power. So as many of our listeners will know, the preserved power could have been retained many years ago when the tax regime was overhauled for pension schemes. But for those schemes that don't now have it, it's interesting that the government wants to give that ability back to them. It also introduces a new criteria for permitting the extraction of surplus and potential changes to the authorised payments regime to enable trustees to more easily use surplus to make one-off payments to members.
That's right. And do take a look at our newsletter if you'd like to see a more in-depth look at the consultation. There's quite a bit in there. Finally, today we will be talking about the Finance Act 2024, which has been given royal assent and makes some big changes from the 6th of April.
That's right. This one is a fairly big ticket item, as it contains the provisions to abolish the lifetime allowance totally from April. Amongst other things, the Act introduces the concept of a new lump sum allowance and a new lump sum and death benefit allowance. So the lump sum allowance is intended to cap the amount of certain lump sums which can be taken tax-free from registered pension schemes, and the new lump sum and death benefit allowance caps the total amount of tax-free lump sums, together with certain other serious ill health lump sums and certain lump sum death benefits which can be paid in respect of an individual from all registered pension schemes. It's all fairly complicated. In addition, the Act will introduce a new pension commencement excess lump sum, or PCELS, which will be payable in certain circumstances.
That's right. So schemes will need to familiarise themselves with the changes in order to ensure compliance with the amended regime from the 6th of April. The legislation itself is not perfect, and HMRC has been working with industry representatives to make additional changes to the legislation and provide further guidance ahead of 6th of April. Just last week, new regulations were published to amend the Act and confirm how the PCELS is intended to work.
Yes, and it's worth flagging that concerns were also raised that the new regime could have seemingly unintentional consequences for schemes to the extent their rules are written to limit benefits by reference to the LTA, albeit an issue expected to affect only a small number of schemes in practice. So while the pensions industry asked for additional regulations to address this, it was unclear whether these would be forthcoming. But I understand that we might have had some very recent progress on this. Is that right?
That's right. Helpfully, the regulations Rob just mentioned, which were published on the 14th of March, do contain a statutory override mechanism designed so that where scheme rules limit a benefit by reference to the lifetime allowance, that rule should automatically be read as continuing to impose that limit as if the LTA had continued to apply. Although potentially affected schemes will need to take advice to confirm whether the statutory override is sufficient to address identified issues, or whether a rule amendment may be preferable in advance of the 6th of April.
Thanks, Louise. Well, I suspect that's all the pensions law we have time for today, but we do have a number of other interesting topics covered in our newsletter, including progress on the new DB funding regime, the regulator's new general code, and some interesting commentary on case law.
Yes, please check it out. And as always, if listeners have any questions on any of the topics that we have covered in today's podcast or from our newsletter, please do not hesitate to reach out to any of us or your Clifford Chance Pensions contact.
Thanks very much, both. We have come to the end of our podcast here today. So we're just left to say thank you very much to those listening, and we look forward to speaking to you again on the next edition.
You've been listening to the Clifford Chance Pensions podcast. Please do follow us on LinkedIn.